You'll have to forgive me, I'm a little bit sleep deprived this morning. Seems like on Saturday nights, I'm not being able to sleep, and that's been the case for probably about the last month. So I'm operating and doing this, I want to say, in the Lord's strength. We're looking at the letter of 2 John. We've been through 1 John, now we're going to go into 2 John, and you find the same words, the same kind of theme in the book of 2 John. Many critics, many theologians believe that 2 John was written by the Apostle John, who wrote 1 John. And they actually even believe that 2 John may be a cover letter to 1 John. But there's debate on that. But just so you know, when you open up the book to 2 John, you may not be able to find it because it only contains one chapter. And it's only 13 verses long. So you might be saying, well, what is of significance in the letter of 2 John? Well, we find the same emphasis on love one another. We find the same emphasis upon Jesus died and made atonement for you and I on the cross, and that those who do not believe that Jesus died and was divine, both God and man, do not know God, do not know the Father. For to know the Father is to know the Son, and to know the Son is to know the Father. So we have the same theme running in the letter of 2 John. And we also have the same issue of Gnostic false teachers being addressed. Henceforth, that's why some theologians and critics believe that the letter of 2 John is actually a cover letter to 1 John. We have a person addressed. We don't have a salutation at the beginning, necessarily. We basically have the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. That's verse 1 and 2. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Let us love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard it from the beginning, you must walk in it. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I've put a different version on the screen as to what you're reading. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ but goes beyond it does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do not receive into the house or welcome anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching. For to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Although I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you their greetings. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Further upon the letter of 1 John, you'll notice in the final greeting, and the person's addressed as a lady and her children. Some have surmised that one, it's an actual lady and her child, and there is a church meeting in her house, so it's a house church, or that it is a fellow church. And with the salutation, with the final greeting, the children of your elect sister send you their greetings, that it's another church of which John is the pastor or the bishop over top of. You notice two things in this letter that stand out. One is that there is a reward that you've worked hard for and that can be lost. That's verse 8. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Seems to be an indication that there's a half reward, maybe a quarter reward, we don't know. But if they're not careful in guarding what they've learned of who Christ is, they may fail and lose their full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ but goes beyond it does not have God. Okay? Going beyond Christ. Have we gone beyond Christ? Have we run ahead of Christ? Be careful. Because if anybody does not have this teaching of Christ, you've gone beyond him. You've run ahead. The concern for John is so grave that he instructs his congregation to not welcome or extend hospitality to these teachers. Now, hospitality in the Middle East was a big thing. Because when you came to the town or you were on a trip and you were visiting, you would much prefer to stay with somebody than stay in, say, a hotel or a lodge or wherever. Because it was pretty dangerous. You may get waylaid, you may lose your possessions. It was a dangerous thing to go and stay in what would be their own hotels. So hospitality was a normal thing to extend. So if you're a friend and you're going from one town to the other, you're hoping on the other end that your friend over there or the church, people in the church, would extend hospitality and open up their home to you so that you would be safe. Well, this is such a dangerous situation that John instructs them intently. He says, do not open up your house to these false teachers. Do not do it. What is John hoping to accomplish when he does this? What do you think? He wants, exactly, Greg, the false teachers to leave. He wants them to keep moving on. He does not want them to stay and reside in this town. He doesn't want them to be amongst the community, because this teaching that Jesus is not God or Jesus did not die on the cross is dangerous. And it can cause division in the church. Question. What does it mean to be intentional? What does it mean to be intentional? Anybody? Do it on purpose. Exactly. When you came to church this morning, was it intentional? Or did it just happen? Intentional, right? You came to church for what reason? Larry, you can deal with the Lord about that one. We do things intentionally. We do things with purpose. We do things with a plan of action or lack of action. Can you live this life without intention? Can you live your life without intention. Why not? Because to even make the decision, I'm going to live my life without intention, is making an intention. Correct? I'm going to live my life without purpose. Well, you're just giving your life a purpose. I'm going to live without it. So it is not possible to live this life without any intentions. Okay? No pre-planning. When Jesus came into this world, did he have an intention? What was his intention? To do what? Save us from our sin, okay? I'm going to say that's close, but I'm going to say it's just a little bit off. Okay, unite our relationship with God, okay, which he accomplished through dying on the cross. Jesus' intention was to fulfill the work and the will of his Father. Amen? Which was to redeem men, which involved dying on the cross. Right? This is the full gospel. He came into this world doing his Father's work and will to redeem creation back to God, man becoming one with the Father once again. In the garden, what all fell under the curse of death and sin? All of creation. Just not man. All of creation. So Jesus came and died to set all creation right once again. Did Jesus ever go beyond what the Father desired? Think about it. Did Jesus ever go beyond what the Father desired? Meaning, did Jesus run ahead of the Father's will? Did he ever run ahead of the Father's will? You guys are shaking your head? No. Yeah, it's not a trick question. Did Jesus add to the Father's will in work? Did he add to it? No. Did he take away from it? No. He didn't either. Jesus fulfilled the Father's will perfectly. That's why he's our example. That's why we follow him. That's why he says, follow me, do as I've done. Because he completely fulfilled and did the Father's work and will perfectly, without error. John 6:37-39, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why are we going to amen that? Because he's not going to lose us. He's going to do everything and anything to keep us, to win us. And the only one that can stand in the way is who? Yeah. Me. Yeah. Choosing not to believe. Choosing not to trust. But even in that, God the Father is saying, I'm going to do my best, which is perfect, to win you and to keep you. What's it say? Can anybody take you out of God's hand? No. Nobody. Nobody. The enemy may cause you to do what? Forget? Doubt? Forget. Right? What did we talk about last week? We talked about poker, right?
Yeah.
And what happens in poker? What's Satan's desire in poker? Is to make you fold. Because he's the great bluffer. And with Jesus, we always have the winning hand, right? We always have the high straight. No one can beat it. We have the straight flush. Can't be beaten. That's Jesus. But the enemy wants us to fold of our own choosing. To admit defeat. To lie. To bluff. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, Jesus told them. So what did Jesus say? To finish his work. What's that an indication of? How can you finish work unless work was started? Work was started back then. Work got interrupted. Jesus is, I'm going to complete the work. Okay? John 5:19, then Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. Why is that good news? He's fulfilling his promise, yeah. Why is that good news? Because we say, well, Jesus says, no one has seen God. But if you've seen me, you've seen God. So we look to Jesus, we read about Jesus, we see Jesus, and we know the Father. So we know his character, we know his attitude, we know his love, we know who he is and what he's all about. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus is the epitome of the Father. So we don't have to doubt anything about the Father. We don't have to question anything about the Father. We don't have to make up stories to go beyond what Scripture says, what Jesus said. Because we can rest assured this is who the Father is. When I see Jesus, I see the Father. What happened in the garden? Satan puts the thought in man's head that God is holding out. That God is holding out. That God doesn't want you to eat from that tree because you'll be just as knowledgeable about good and evil as he is, just as smart as he is. You can be God. What do we know about God? He doesn't share his glory with anybody else. Right? Have no other gods before me. He doesn't accept any other gods. He alone is God. Are we good with that? Hopefully we're good with that. Because if we're not good with that, you got some issues to deal with, right? Craig, you got problems. So if we see Jesus, we see the Father. If we see the Father, we see Jesus. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. It's not frivolous. It's not a loose cannon. He's not a lone ranger. He does nothing on his own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In our life, how are we to live? By the will of the Father. Jesus says, follow me. I follow and do my Father's will. You and I should do likewise. He can't do anything on his own. What about us? Do we do anything on our own? Yeah, we do. Come on. We do. We do things on our own. We decide, I'm going to do this today. But then the Lord goes, no, you're not doing that today, you're doing this. It's like yesterday. I was like, I cut my grass on Friday night at 10:30 at night. I'm all ready to go. I was going to sit out on the deck and have my coffee and do my devotions and play with my dog, which I did. But then my daughter comes home Friday night. Says, Dad, the brakes aren't working on the car. It's like I was coming home, and there was no brakes. I was pumping the brakes. There was no brakes. So she slowly rode around the shores and pulled into the house. So guess what I did yesterday? Bleeding brakes. I didn't want to do that. It was the least of my fun thing to do. But I worked on the car all day. So I was like, okay, let's bleed the brakes. I called Benny. I was like, Benny, can you help me? Because I couldn't get the little nipple to come loose. Where you bleed the brakes. And I'm just like, oh, what am I going to do? Right? But then it worked. And then I decided, well, I might as well change the oil while I'm at it. I don't remember the last time I changed the oil in that car. That's a bad thing. So I did that. I was tired at the end of the day. Jesus' intention is to fulfill the will of the Father perfectly, doing nothing more and nothing less. Not adding to it, not taking from it, not going beyond it, and not coming short of it. When the specter of death finally showed his face, Jesus accepted and fulfilled the will of the Father. Okay? I didn't go beyond what I needed to do when I fixed the car. I went and bought brake pads because I thought it was maybe the brake pad problem, so I checked out the brake pads, and the brake pads were okay. Still had a good quarter on it. I thought, oh, okay, I don't need to do that. So I put that back together and just concentrated on bleeding the brakes. I didn't go beyond what I needed to do. In your devotion to Christ, do you go beyond what is needed? The Gnostics went beyond what was needed. This doesn't make sense that God would come in the form of man and die on the cross for you and I, because we know in Docetism, a type of Gnosticism, that anything residing in the physical body is evil. So how could Jesus come in the body of man and die on the cross for you and I? It doesn't make sense. So let's figure this out. Let's go beyond the teachings of Christ. And this is what John is addressing. You've gone beyond the teachings of Christ. If the Bible says it, do you believe it? Or are you skeptical about the Bible? Does the Bible have authority? Is it inspired? Is it inerrant? We talked about this. This is where progressive Christianity does not agree and has gone beyond Christ. It's where Gnostics have gone beyond Christ. They deny the atonement. Matthew 26:39, going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as you will." What did Jesus do there? He inquired of the Father. "Father, if it's possible that this cup may pass from me, let it be so. But if not, I will take the cup." He did not go beyond his Father's will. He stayed with his Father's will and with his Father's work. He asks a second time, and a second time it's recorded. He went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Matthew 26:42. Not just a second time, but there's actually a third time. Matthew 26:44. After leaving them, the disciples, because he told them to be praying, right? And they're falling asleep. He wakes them up again, he goes back, and a third time he went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. It's like Jesus going to the Father, "Okay, did I understand you right? I want to just make sure. I don't want to fall short of your will, and I don't want to go beyond your will. But if it's your will, I'll take the cup." Matthew 26:45-46. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the work and the will of the Father. So Jesus takes it. When Jesus had received the sour wine, John 19:30, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The intention of Jesus was to fulfill the will and the work of the Father. He did not fall short. He did not go beyond the will and work of the Father. The question is, do we? Do we? John 3:16, what's it say? "For God so loved the world that in this way he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. A progressive Christian has a problem with that. They may not even know it. Gnostics had a problem with it. Because how could they affirm that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross? They take him off the cross. They say the divine spirit came off of Jesus, and that man that died on the cross was only Jesus in the physical body, but not God himself. If that is the truth, then what? We're stuck in our sins. There's no hope, there's no salvation. What is the intention of Jesus for us? That we would fulfill the Father's will and work. That we would love God and love people, bringing them back to a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. John 7:17, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Is that a scary verse? It's a true verse. This is a scary verse. Because it makes us go, am I doing the will of the Father? Do I know the will of the Father? How do I know the will of the Father? Well, if you don't know this, you don't know the will of the Father. If you're not in this, you don't know the will of the Father. If you're not reading this daily, then daily you may not know the will of the Father. John 8:29, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases him. Isn't that the desire of every child? To please your mom and dad?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it your desire to please your mom and dad? All the time? No. No. It was not. I remember this one time I got mad at my mom because my mom and I had a disagreement or whatever, and I was being obtuse. So I was sitting, it was when we were living on our own, we were in Ontario, and my mom was doing wallpapering. We had moved into this apartment and she was doing wallpaper. You guys remember wallpaper? How many of you old enough to remember wallpaper? They're doing wallpaper. No, she's doing this all by herself. And I was mad at her. And she come into the bedroom. She come into the living room because we didn't have the room set up. And she's looking at me and glaring at me because I wouldn't help her. I was pleasing myself. I was not going to help my mom. I was going to let my mom know that I was not happy with her. Well, that did not go so well for me. Do we always do what pleases the Father? Because that's his will. That's his work. If we do his will and his work, we please the Father. It's real simple, right? Matthew 22:37-40, he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. What is that? What are those two commandments? What are the Ten Commandments? What are they? The law of pleasing God. The law of pleasing God. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So with my mom, I really hated myself at that time. Because I wasn't able to love my mom. So therefore, if I couldn't love my mom, it meant I didn't love myself. So therefore, I was at odds with myself and didn't like myself. You ever get angry? How many of you guys are pretty proud of yourself when you get angry? What usually follows after anger?
Frustration.
How about shame? Shame usually, right? And being the good Christian, we always go to the person that we're angry at and we apologize. Right? Does this take some time? It does. Why? Because we have to deal with the shame. Right? And it doesn't please God. So therefore, we confess to the Father and we confess and ask for forgiveness from the one that we've offended, that we're angry at. Is all anger wrong? There's righteous anger, right? There is righteous anger. There is righteous anger that is based on God's word, that is based on God's justice, God's love, God's truth. Did Jesus ever get angry? When did he get angry? In the temple, right? When the shortchangers were cheating everybody on their temple purchases to offer sacrifice. Right? Jesus came in, he turned over the tables and took out a cat of nine tails and he started whipping things. Do you like that kind of Jesus? Would you follow that kind of Jesus? Absolutely. Because if Jesus had done that, they would never have repented and changed their ways. And that is an action of what? Of love. Because if they hadn't changed their ways, then they would have missed out on Christ and missed out on eternal life. It's an act of love. So are we doing the will of the Father, or are we going beyond and falling short? The concern of the Apostle John in 2 John is that the community does not go beyond Christ and run ahead of who he is and what he has called them to be. The analogy would be to run a cross-country race before knowing the course and adding to the course of what is required. Any of you done cross-country running? I've done lots of that. Not lately. Back in high school, I did lots of cross-country running. I was fifth in the province. And trust me, when you're doing cross-country running, at the end of the race, if you're not pooped, you didn't give enough. But you didn't give any more, and you didn't give any less than what you could. You don't add to the course. You don't take away from it. What happens if you take away from the course? You cheated, right? You get disqualified. And if you add to the course, you're just the moron, right? Because you could have won the race or finished the race a lot sooner than that. Jesus says, just be. Do the will of the Father. Don't go beyond. Don't fall short. How do we know if we're going to be doing the will and the work of the Father? By the Holy Spirit. By the word, he lets us know. The race in this life is to know the Father and to be with him in his kingdom. In order to know the Father and be with him in his kingdom, one needs to know the Son. For only by believing, knowing, and following Jesus do we end up at the Father and in his kingdom at the end of the race. Nothing more, nothing less. The Gnostic teachers went beyond what Jesus taught. They made the atonement less than what it is. Jesus did not die on the cross as divine. The divine spirit left Jesus before he was humiliated on the cross. So what? Jesus will leave us when the tough times come? Did Jesus say that?
No.
He will leave us to hang on the cross by ourselves? Did he ever say that?
No.
Did Jesus really mean what he said when he said in Matthew 28:20, and remember I am with you always to the end of the age? Do we affirm that? Does the Father God lie when he spoke to Moses, speaking to Joshua, in taking the fortresses of the world for him? Deuteronomy 31:6-8. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Moses then summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land the Lord swore to give to their fathers. You will enable them to take and possess in possession of it. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." I'm sure that Moses said that in a different tone. If I was a football coach, this is the ultimate speaking to before the game. Be strong and courageous, for I'm with you out there, guys. I'm walking with you, I'm lifting, I'm pressuring the quarterback, I'm doing everything that I can. I'm with you in everything that you do. Don't be fearful. The Bible says that God is the same today as yesterday and as will be tomorrow. And Jesus says that if you have seen him, you have seen the Father. Then we can take great confidence in the fact that God being the same yesterday and one in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he goes before us and will be with us always, never forsaking us in whatever, whoever we face, walking in his will and his work. A cross is nothing to fear, but it is to be embraced, because then we know that the Lord God is with us. And Jesus reminds us, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." False teachers go beyond what Jesus and John advise the faithful to not follow them and lose what they've worked so hard to attain. They are not to go beyond what they know, how Jesus lived, how he died, how he arose, and what he said. 2 John 8, "Watch yourselves so you don't lose what you've worked for, but that you may receive a full reward." I have more that I wanted to share, but I think that's good. We talked about Gnosticism, we talked about false teaching, we've talked about progressive Christianity, and we've yet to talk about wokeness. I wanted to talk about that, but you know what? I think that's good. This is something that we can talk about later. But realize one thing, is that we need to test what we hear. We need to know what we know is true. And how do you do that? By Scripture. By the word, by prayer, by speaking with the Holy Spirit, by studying, by showing yourself approved as a workman of Christ, as Paul says to Timothy. Don't go beyond what Christ calls you to. Don't fall short, because these are the things that pleases Father God. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that we don't have to be greater than you. We don't have to go beyond the Master. It's sufficient and suffice to be like the Master. We don't need to know it all. We don't have to have all the knowledge and of everything. We don't have to have your mind. But we simply need to be able to trust. Does that question really matter in eternity compared to simply obeying and following Christ? We don't need to go beyond you. What we read in Scripture, what we know of by the Spirit, is enough. So, Father, may you speak to our spirits about that in our lives, where we're seeking to be more and do more, and simply you want us to be this. be his follower, love God, love people. Real simple. Father, enable our ears to hear you this week. Simply ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.